like me, you probably have a closet full of local band merch. Whether you know it or not, a lot of that band merch is probably made by Divine Shirt Company right here in Winnipeg. Divine Shirt Company has made all of the Grey Witch Police merch, from our hoodies to our toques to our t-shirts. And if you're looking to get anything done, like screen printing, embroidery, graphic design, digital printing, go to see Divine Shirt Company at divineshirtcompany.ca and tell them Witch Police Radio sent you.
One of our colleagues, Sam Thompson, who, if you saw him, you'd sort of right away assume he was a hippie.
All right, welcome to Witch Police Radio. I'm back with a guest who has been on the show once before, and it's been almost a year. One of the things I like about sort of catching up with past interviewees on the podcast is that it's really cool to see sort of how things have changed over that time period, whether it's a year apart or whether it's 5 years apart or whatever. It's always cool to sort of watch the trajectory of people who I've interviewed once, especially when they're just starting out. And I think that's the case here with my guest on this episode, is someone who I had on the podcast at a very early stage, I think, in your musical career. And now, you know, obviously there's a lot more happening, and we're going to get into all of that. But I think the best way to start this off is if you want to introduce yourself and give some background about what you do as an artist. Because, I mean, before we even do that, the major difference from the previous interview to this one is that you've sort of rebranded yourself as far as the name you're using as an artist. So let's start with that.
Yeah. The last time I chatted with you, I was, I think I was still going under Julie Fern. But hello, I'm Fernanda. Fernanda is kind of like, I guess you could say a surname or a last name that I've just, it just started to become obvious that that felt more true to the direction and the path of my music and of my artistic expression. So yeah, the past year has just been me exploring who Fernanda is and what that means. And it's definitely connected to my own lineage and ancestry, Portuguese roots specifically. So yeah.
Yeah, and I guess, I mean, we can definitely get into sort of what's happened with you change-wise musically, for sure. But, you know, as you said, you were going with Julie Fern at the time. You were just starting out, starting to get your name out there as an artist. I know the names are similar enough that I think people could put two and two together if they heard you the first time and now being reintroduced. But was there work involved in sort of reintroducing yourself to the local music scene under this new moniker?
Not really. Yeah, not really, because it was pretty early on. Like, I think when I moved back to Winnipeg and I started playing shows and stuff, I probably played, like, you know, a handful of shows under that name. And then it was kind of during a trip to Toronto where I was spending a lot of time playing with my production style and using Logic Pro for the first time. And that's when I kind of made that sort of shift. So it was almost like coming back into the Winnipeg scene. Like, nobody knew, like, really, nobody really knew who I was.
Okay.
So it didn't really matter.
Well, it seems like it's worked out. Because, I mean, with this new record, it seems like your name is out there a lot more. Maybe I'm just noticing it more because, you know, I heard the album and it's top of mind. But I definitely, you definitely seem to be, you know, more of a higher profile now under this new name. So the record is sort of why we're here today to talk about. And so I think that maybe for people who are unfamiliar with your music, what's the best way that you would describe it? And I know it's a shitty question because no one likes to answer the genre thing because it's so complicated now, especially with all these weird subgenres and things like that. But to me, just like a big umbrella genre, it's a folk record. There's so much more happening in there than just folk music. Yeah. So how do you define it?
I mean, yeah, folk music is my roots, for sure. It always will be. When people ask me now, and the way I've explored and felt my style of music is like folk rock blues. And there's a definitely like a psychedelic, perhaps a more mystic quality. To it. Yeah. So I always say, like, it's mystic folk music, and however it evolves from here is like you know, I'll let you know how it goes when it gets there. I don't know.
Yeah, for sure. And I guess folk music is a wide enough umbrella too that you are able to go off in those different directions without it seeming too much of a departure from sort of the overarching genre.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So this record, this is obviously your first record. It's a concept album, which I thought was very cool. What can you tell me about the album? I mean, for someone who hasn't heard the album, what should they go into this mm-hmm. expecting? Because like you said, I mean, it is folk. It does have those mystical elements. It has a lot of those other genres in there as well. So what is someone going to expect when they hit play on this thing and start listening for the first time?
Yeah, I mean, I think I hope they can expect a journey of sorts. I mean, the title Deer Trails refers to literal trails around my house that I walk almost every day. And I'm very inspired by that environment, by that nature, by the animals I see there, by the things that I experience and feel when I'm walking. It's a folk tale. It is a concept album. Each song has its own story to it, which I'm very excited to share more about as, you know, as the music's released and I get to perform it more. But yeah, I think when people press play, like both my parents, when they listened to it for the first time, they bundled up and they went on a walk through the trails and they listened to it. And that's kind of my hope for people who are listening to it, is that they'll really engage with the story in their own way. Like, let it be your sort of guide while you're walking your own journey. And so expect a story, expect to go places and to have your imagination hopefully activated, because I know for me that was a huge part of putting this concept album together and the story together was just letting my imagination like go nuts.
Yeah That's cool. Yeah, that's a good way to I think to approach making music too, is just to unleash that, right? And that and whatever comes out
totally. I mean, like, what's the point otherwise if you can't just like have so much fun with it?
Yeah,
so
well, okay, well, that brings up a question maybe then is, I mean, we're in an era now where the way people consume music, there's not a standard way, right? Someone could be listening to it start to finish. They could be listening to songs here and there. It could be on shuffle. It could be mixed into a playlist. And you are, you know, the way you describe people bundling up and going into the nature and listening to that, I love that idea of doing that. But you know, obviously, that's not necessarily how even a significant percentage of the listeners are going to consume this. So when you're making something like a concept album that has that kind of vibe to it, do you have to think about sort of how people are going to be taking this in or where they're going to be taking it in, or does it matter? Like, are you happy just sort of doing it the way it comes out of you, and then however people discover it is sort of up to them?
Yeah, I think what became really apparent throughout the whole process of creating it was like it all came back to telling the story in the most authentic way possible and in the most authentic voice of the storyteller. And for me, like, you know, these songs came to me when I was on a metaphorical and literal journey, you know, throughout my life, throughout the past couple years. And so I totally understand and am happy for people to listen to it in whatever capacity they want to or can. And I think when I was like, every song is whole and unto itself, and it has every song has its very own unique character and persona, which is very fun to play with, and that was really fun to play into production wise. And at the same time, when I was bringing it all together, I really wanted to step back, see the bigger picture, and honor the bigger story that was at work.
Thank you. the data of a lightning strike. Don't you forget, dear, you're the data.
And I think also, too, with making the concept album, it's also a bit of just a rebellion against short form content that seems to be like literally melting our brains.
I agree. Yeah.
You know, like, I'm really feeling a pull to like, no, make it long, like make it challenge people's capacity maybe a little bit. And because that's where you kind of get people into a certain state, hopefully, where they're like discovering something about themselves because they're being present with a piece of work longer than they had anticipated, or that they think they have time for in their day.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I think like, however the songs find people, I'm happy for that to happen. And I'm also happy that I stayed true to, you know, what felt true.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, you might, again, mentioning the nature part of it and the literal title of the album, you have nature sounds sort of throughout the record. Yeah. Not in every song, but there's a lot of songs that have sort of this atmosphere to it that definitely has that I'm out in the woods vibe, which is obviously something you were doing on purpose. But what does that, I mean, I guess maybe there's a weird question about that, but how do you get the right sounds for that? Like, what are you looking for when you're recording sort of wildlife sounds? Because, I mean, there's so many of them. It seems like, yeah, you can just you know, hit record and get whatever's happening in nature. But a lot of these seem almost deliberate. Like you've, I don't know if you have, but it seems like you've specifically chosen sort of these particular sounds of nature to include there. And the way they're sort of weaved into the songs seems like it's deliberate as well. I'm not sure if it is, but that was the impression I got listening.
It is definitely. I will say I didn't do any of my own field recordings for this record. It's okay. Something that I'd loved to do in the future. And I'd been talking about it with my friend Marcus, who did the mixing and the mastering. But we had found this library. I mean, it was free for the use. And it was just this beautiful, robust library of high quality recordings.
Cool.
Of course, real animals. And so it was like, I think we spent like, you know, hours like listening through to all of them and like nerding out, but like, oh, that sounds so cool. That sounds so cool. And then we kind of put it away. And I was working with the production of the songs. And it wasn't until kind of like that last little leg of the putting everything together, weaving things together process where it became apparent, like, okay, here's where I want that owl hoot to come in.
Yeah.
I knew very, very well, like, I've run at this point in the song. I want it to signify that, like, we're now approaching something, or like the call that we've been feeling is now coming to the forefront. We can tell it's an owl, where previously it was a little bit it was manipulated to sound a certain way. So it very intentionally used to sort of work with like the setting and try to help the listener be transported,
sure,
you know, through time, through space, through different places, you know, on the path. And yeah, I had so much fun playing with that. And I would love to, in future projects, incorporate my own field reportings and just have so much fun with that. Yeah.
Do you see, so it sounds like you see that as something you're going to be doing more of in future, like that element of the songs, like it really obviously worked for you.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like, I there's so many, you know, exciting next projects and song ideas and things that always come as soon as I, you know, you're done one project, you're so excited and inspired to go to the next. I feel like exploring soundscapes in general is something that I've always been interested in and something that I'll keep, you know, spending time with. Will that be the next project? I don't know yet.
Yeah.
At all, but it definitely is like a huge part of my relationship to music and sound in general, because before I even sang in front of, you know, my parents, my friends and audiences, I was singing in the woods. Like that's,
yeah,
where I felt comfortable to express my voice, because I could hear the voices of nature all around me, and it just felt like the safest place. So yeah, that's deeply embedded in my origin story, I guess you could say.
Cool. And I think that it comes through on the recordings too. I mean, I don't know. I don't think atmospheric is the right word. Maybe it is, but each song definitely has kind of a vibe to it, right? I mean, from song to song, that changes obviously throughout the record, and there's some that have more of what we're just talking about, the nature elements. But there definitely seems to be almost like a thematic thing happening from song to song, where there's a feel, and then on top of the feel is then there's the chords and there's the lyrics, then there's everything else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I'm glad, you know, I'm hoping that does come through, and yeah, I know it catches a couple of people off guard. I know I had some people, when the thunder comes in, they were like, I had to like look around to be like, where? And that's all thanks to, you know, my buddy Marcus Cole. He just, you know, he's a mixing wizard, and he
cool.
knows exactly how to get things to sit right. So yeah.
Cool. Well, the other thing I was thinking of when listening to those elements of the record is how does this work live? Because obviously these songs can be performed in a way where it's just you and a guitar and it would work and it would make sense. And I think that it wouldn't necessarily lose anything. But a lot of these songs have more happening, not just the field recordings. It's a lot more layered than just sort of a solo person singing and strumming. And there are songs that are more stripped down. But does this... How do you sort of foresee this as a live thing going forward? Being able to actually sort of, do you want to deliver sort of the same vibe that's on the record with these, or are you happier doing them in a stripped down sort of more solo format?
Mm-hmm. I think right now I've been playing solo for most of my time.
Yeah.
Up until this point, my single release show for Earth and Sky was the first time I performed with my dad was playing guitar and bass, cool. And Shea Wolf had joined me with backup vocals and ukulele. So, you know, I feel like right now I'm starting to explore how to perform these songs live with added musicians and added elements. The big picture vision for how to share the story in a live performance is something that I'm just starting to work on and develop now. It's kind of like the next phase, okay. And like the next evolution. But I definitely, you know, when that time comes to share that story at a performance, I really want to incorporate as many elements as possible to tell that story, whether it's, you know, using those animal sounds, using other storytelling elements that are maybe more theatrical, you know, costume changes, perhaps other characters floating in. Like I'm exploring these ideas right now. And that's kind of what I'm going to be spending the next few months doing is workshopping that and writing. Writing something that will, you know, probably be a little bit clearer later down the road. So okay. I am kind of keeping my cards a little close right now about that.
Yeah, no worries. No worries.
But just know, I am up to something.
Cool. That's good. I'm glad to hear, glad to hear that. Yeah.
Yeah.
You mentioned something a few minutes ago too about, and this comes up fairly often on the show, is the idea that, you know, you're already sort of thinking about the next thing. I mean, this I think most people, once they've released a record, these are songs that have been in the works for a while. Some of these songs I remember were around when we first talked last year. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's obviously been some time that this has been developed. Are you still sort of comfortable living with these songs right now? It sounds like you are. Or have you already sort of mentally moved on to whatever the next thing is? Like, how hard is it, I guess? Because now people are hearing these for the first time, right? A lot of people who are coming to see you maybe for the first time ever, they've heard the songs online. They want to hear these songs from this record. Like, are you still in very much in this mode, or have you already sort of mentally moved on to whatever's coming next?
I mean, that's always a hard thing. Because, you want to honor the fact. And that's the hard thing about the way releasing music works. It's like,
for sure,
like you've evolved so much by the time it reaches people. And so I don't want to slow that evolution. Like I don't want to stop like the natural like rhythm, I guess, or pace that I'm going with. I think it's important to honor the moment. And so, you know, the next few shows that I will be doing are going to be more like solo, stripped down, acoustic kind of thing. Maybe a couple other, you know, musicians with me.
Yeah.
But I do see how awesome and badass it would be to like put on a show and I'm playing all the songs, but they sound like, whoa, like this sounds different than what I heard in my earbuds. And I'd love that to happen because I think like that to me is exciting and that's fresh and that's, you know. And then when it comes to just like, new projects or song ideas, I think there is a part of me that's like, okay, slow your roll. You can't be starting to write a whole ass other album right now. But there are definitely elements and styles that are really speaking to me right now, specifically like blues. The little like things that I'm hearing in melodies and lyrics and the way I'm exploring my voice right now is very much rooted in a more blues style. Okay. And I think that if at this point in time, I do foresee the direction of Fernanda going in a more about like more, even more of like a folk rock blues way versus just the singer-songwriter stuff.
Sure.
So, yeah, I mean, yeah. But right now, I'm just kind of excited to, like, you know, learn some more covers that I've been wanting to learn for a long time and just kind of relax a bit instead of trying to push so hard. Of, I just want to let things kind of like fall into place as they want to.
Cool. And then Now you have this calling card basically as a record that people can go back and get a more of a fulsome idea of sort of what you do and where you're coming from. What has the response been so far? I mean, I know at the time we're recording this, it's still a fairly new record. It came out pretty recently, but have you had some good feedback about it?
I have, which has been really, really beautiful and very like humbling. I did release it early on Bandcamp, and it is available there. I mean, it's going to be available there forever.
Yeah.
And I had a lot of support on it from obviously friends and family, but also some folks that like found me through a podcast or online or something. And I think like the main feedback that I've been getting is just how like it feels like such a realm or a world of its own. And I think that the emotion that I really captured through the way that I had reported it, which was a lot of these takes were live off the floor.
Cool.
And I think like that really preserved some, you know, earnesty or whatever that may be translated. So yeah, it's been a really like very supportive response, especially from, you know, my friends to play music and have seen me, you know, a year ago and all the stuff that's happened. And yeah, I'm excited now for it to just like be more accessible, you know, on the streaming world. And I hope it just like it, I hope it resonates with the folks who it's meant to resonate with, like the pathfinders and the poets, I call, like whoever resonates with that statement.
Yep.
Will probably like the album.
The sun had risen, we were but voices and
the dark. Lull in shadow vision, guiding blackness with one arm. Shed light with graceful courage. Shout with audible days. Set sight on the midnight mountain. Though your voice begins to shake.
When you're thinking of who this record is for, do you sort of have an ideal listener in mind? I mean, not a specific person, but do you have an idea of sort of who this is made for? I know you kind of touched on that a second ago with sort of, you know, that Pathfinders thing, but
I think there is definitely a part of me that pictures like myself as like a younger version of myself,
sure,
or perhaps even myself as a teenager or just like a younger lady, like you know. I think I very much resonate with this sort of archetype of a pilgrim, which you know, as the story unfolds and people listen to the album, they'll probably pick up on that there is, you know, I am on a pilgrimage with my work, with my music, and there's a fantastical story now that's, you know, been written about it. And so the listener I have in mind is just like someone who's really like seeking purpose, you know, and wanting to honor like something that's true to them. Okay. And their own unique path. So, I mean, that could look like anyone under the sun. But yeah, I mean, I guess, yeah, someone who's just like, who's seeking something and not just out in the world and in other people, like deeply in themselves.
Yeah.
Some sort of connection deeply in themselves. And I think, you know, I still am, I'm every day, every moment I'm seeking that.
Yeah, I like that. I think that's malleable enough that it would fit with a lot of people as well, right? I mean, it's not, not to say that it's vague, because I don't think it is, but it people can take that to interpret that however they feel like, and it could fit, you know, person A and person B could have completely different lifestyles, and that could still apply to both of them.
Totally. It's like a if you know, you know,
type
of situation.
For sure. Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
So how can people hear this? I know we mentioned Bandcamp a minute ago, but if someone wants to hear more about what you do or hear your music in general, where would you direct them to? Because this is a podcast. It you know, someone could hear it the week it comes out, or they could hear it 5 years from now or 10 years from now, because apparently I can't stop making these. So this will be on the internet forever.
Yeah, thank you, by the way, for making these.
Oh yeah, no problem. I like doing it. Yeah, obviously.
It helps us out a lot. Okay, so I guess, yes, Bandcamp. Bandcamp is definitely where you can find a lot of my music or all my music.
That's why I was listening today, too, Bandcamp, yeah.
Okay, awesome. Yeah. Any streaming platform, I will be on there come December 12th. And to keep up with, like, my shows and just what I'm up to, Instagram is kind of my main channel of communication. So
cool.
I guess I can tag it later.
Yeah, I'll link to it in the show notes too. So people should, if you're listening to this, just go back to the thing you just read and click on the,
Perfect. Yeah. Instagram is where I'm going to be posting a lot about my shows, and also probably showing a lot more of like my process with this next phase of storytelling.
Awesome.
So yeah.
And then, you know, at the time we're recording this, it's mid-December. This will come out a bit later this month. Do you have anything coming up in sort of the end of the year into the new year as far as shows or other events?
Yes, I do. So January 8th, I think, I'm playing with like the Nashville, Manitoba songwriters round. So that's at Kilter Brewing. So I'll be playing there, and I'll be playing probably like all the song, you know, I'll be playing the songs off the record. And then after that, honestly, like, I have no idea what's going to happen. I mean, I'm hoping to obviously play more shows, but I'm kind of taking some time to hibernate. I will drop a little breadcrumb of, if you do follow me on Instagram and, you know, connect with me there, I may be doing some more sort of speakeasy style house concerts, so in the new year. So
right on. Those are the best kind of shows. House shows are like, I mean, I've been to a lot of shows in my lifetime, and house shows are like up here, and everything else is way below. I love house shows, so it's great to hear that. I'm always happy to hear people doing them.
Yeah, no, I think it's like, it's fun. It's fun to make it a little like secret.
So. For sure. Yeah, that makes it even better. For sure. Definitely. Yeah.
When you wander, bench down there. She's sitting by the river. Like she was a moving prayer. She biked around the city. Ooh, ooh. And she's thinking about. She smiles at people passing, even if they're looking down. Well, it doesn't matter. Where do you go?
Ha ha ha!